that cells are the building blocks of life, responsible for our movement, thoughts, feelings, and bodily functions. But did you know that there are over 200 different types of cells in the human body, each with a specialized function? The cells that make up your brain and nervous system are called neurons. There are many different types of neurons, but generally they specialize in transmitting information to and from the brain in order for it to be processed. The shapes of their bodies reflect this, with long axons and dendrites that propagate information along the way. For example, the sensory neurons in your fingertips can tell very quickly if something you're touching is too hot, and they send this information down their axons into the brain. The brain then processes this information and says, "Yeah, that's way too hot," and sends a motor signal back down to your fingers, which causes them to move out of the way. But in order for these neurons to function properly, they have to be the correct shape and size. And in order for these neurons to become the correct shape and size, they must follow the blueprint of DNA, which provides instructions telling them what to do in order to become the specialized type they should be.
So it all starts with our DNA. The DNA that makes us who we are exists in every cell. It functions as a blueprint and instructions manual that tells all of our cells what to do and generates a functioning human body. Collectively, DNA makes up our genes. Think of this blueprint as a large book of instructions with many pages, and while every cell contains the whole book, there are only certain pages that each cell reads. During early development, the general location of each cell lets the cell know which page of instructions to read. However, the pages of the blueprint that each cell reads often provide instructions for creating proteins as well. Proteins are complex molecules that perform their job by signaling to a cell something else that they should do. If the DNA has an error in it, a mistake in the written instructions, it's called a mutation. Mutations can cause the protein that is typically encoded to not be produced at all, or it may have reduced functionality. Depending on the type of mutation, this can have serious consequences for the individual that carries it. In the paper we are looking at today, we will examine a gene called TBC1D7 that encodes a protein that was recently found to negatively regulate cell growth.
We will look at cells in the cortex of the mouse brain and the section of the genetic instructions manual, the genes, that tell those cells how much to grow. Specifically, we will look at what happens to cell growth when there is an error in the instructions, a mutation in one of the many involved genes that regulate cell growth.
So, some background on the cerebral cortex as to why it's so important and why scientists are interested in it. As a whole, has the job of processing information in the human brain regarding things like language, memories, thought, learning, emotion, decision-making, intelligence, and even your personality. So clearly, it's a really important part of the brain since it's responsible for understanding the world around us and also holds aspects of ourselves in it. There are different areas within the cerebral cortex that are responsible for all of these different things. So changes in the structure of the cortex is probably an important aspect to consider in what the outcomes could be. Well, some speculate that increased cortical thickness correlates with increased intelligence. Though some studies have found this to be true, it's not necessarily a broad generalization that can be made, as the results could have been anecdotal. This paper by Schroeder et al. Does, however, show the impacts of behavior and function correlating with the cortical thickness they observed in mice they were studying. So the authors of the paper we're discussing used mice to examine what happens to these cortical cells when TBC1D7 isn't functioning properly.
There are a variety of different ways to examine the function of a protein that is encoded by a gene. In this paper, the authors used CRISPR-Cas9, which acts as a pair of scissors, to cut out the gene of interest they are interested in examining. In this case, it was TBC1D7. By doing this, they were able to generate a line of mice that did not have the TBC1D7 gene and examine any changes in cell growth. They found that these mice appeared to have larger brains and muscle fibers overall. However, after observing the increased brain size, they began to wonder which specific instructions the TBC1D7 gene was encoding, and why the absence of it results in more cell growth. In order to understand this process, let's go over some of the background information for the cellular growth pathway that the authors were manipulating in these experiments. For our purposes, we are going to focus on three components of the cell that are encoded in the DNA and create functional proteins, or complexes of proteins, in the cells of the cortex. Proteins are created by the cell after reading the section of DNA that encodes them and become the machinery that carries out the task at hand. When the task at hand is cell growth, there are many different proteins involved, but for our purposes, we will be looking at three important proteins or complexes of proteins in particular: RebGTP, mTOR, and the TSC1 and 2 complex. RebGTP is a small molecule that is full of energy, so we are going to think of it as the gasoline that powers mTOR, which we will think of as the engine that drives cell growth. Mediating the flow of gasoline to the engine, however, is the TSC1 and 2 complex, which we can think of as the throttle. The energy in RebGTP is used to power the engine of mTOR, the complex of molecules that tells the cell to grow when it is receiving gas. If mTOR is constantly receiving gas, then it will be constantly sending signals within the cell to constantly be growing. So there needs to be some sort of system that regulates how much RebGTP gas is flowing to the mTOR engine. In this case, there is a throttle, a complex of three proteins that work together to regulate this gas flow, called the TSC1 and 2 complex. It is made up of three different proteins that are encoded by the DNA and bind together, called TSC1, TSC2, and TBC1D7. This TSC1 and 2 complex regulates the amount of RebGTP by chopping off the part of it that makes it energetically active and therefore able to power the mTOR engine. So when there are mutations in the proteins of the TSC1 and 2 complex, they may not function properly and may not be able to slow down the amount of gas flow to the engine, and the cell will continue to grow.
So the question is, how do cells look differently when part of the throttle is not able to slow down the amount of gasoline being sent to the engine? Previous studies of the TSC1 and 2 complex have shown that mutations in the regions of the DNA that encode the proteins for the TSC1 and 2 complex can cause a variety of developmental disorders, from tumor growth to neurological abnormalities. When mutations in these regions arise during development, the diagnosis is called TSC and is thought to occur once in every 5,000 to 10,000 live births. Better understanding how these proteins of the TSC1 and 2 complex regulate the amount of cell growth that happens could open up doors to possible treatments and therapies for those with TSC and maybe even cancer.
Humans have a very large cortex compared to other animals, and so reaching a better understanding of which sections of our DNA instructions manual tells our cells to generate such a large cortex is a hot topic in the research community. This makes the increased cortical thickness the researchers observed in the mice lacking TBC1D7 especially interesting. In the case of the increased cortex observed by the authors of this paper, there were a few possibilities of how these mice might end up with larger brain. The first option would be that there is an increased rate of cell division. This would mean that the instructions that TBC1D7 provides to the cell might result in more cells being born. However, overall, the authors did not observe a higher number of neurons in these brain regions, which led them to rule out increased cell division as an explanation for the increased size of the cortex.
Another option that might explain the observed increase in brain size would be that the cells themselves are larger on average. This ends up being what the authors found to be true. They measured the area of the soma, the cell body, in neurons lacking TBC1D7 and found that it was larger on average in cortical neurons. This suggested to them that TBC1D7 is likely involved in regulating the amount of gas that gets sent to the mTOR pathway, the engine of cell growth. There is a drug called rapamycin, which does a very good job of deactivating mTOR, and the authors hypothesized that if the increased cell size was due to TBC1D7 not being able to slow down mTOR activation, then deactivating mTOR through treatment with rapamycin should counteract the effects of TBC1D7 being absent, and the cell should return to their normal size. It turns out that yes, treating these cells with rapamycin decreases the size of the soma and hippocampal neurons, confirming that TBC1D7 does play a role in negatively regulating the energy sent to the mTOR complex in some capacity.
While this finding does not provide evidence or much speculation regarding the origins of the large neocortex in humans, it does help us understand how the development of the cerebral cortex is regulated. However, just because the neurons are larger, as seen in the TBC1D7 knockout mice, it doesn't mean that they are necessarily more efficient. Mice that were observed to have larger brains also seem to have larger muscle fibers. At first, after hearing that, one might assume that a bigger brain and larger muscles means that the mouse is stronger and more intelligent than an average mouse. However, this did not seem to be the case. Even though the muscle fibers in the mouse's legs were larger in TBC1D7 knockouts, they appeared to be much less efficient in terms of grip strength and overall motor coordination.
So the overall findings of the paper are that the TBC1D7 gene isn't necessary for mice and thus likely humans to survive. However, that's not to say that this gene doesn't play an important role in cell signaling and regulation for proper functioning, as it was found that TBC1D7 is crucial for regulation of the mTOR pathway. The mTOR pathway stands for mammalian target of rapamycin pathway and is within cells to regulate growth. The pathway does this by sending signals to regulate the copying of DNA and thus proteins that are made, as DNA codes for how much and what kinds of proteins are produced. If the mTOR pathway isn't functioning properly, it can give rise to excessive cell growth, which can ultimately lead to tumor growth and cancer.
So like we mentioned before, the TSC1 and TSC2 genes are incredibly important factors for allowing energy production and regulation along the TSC and mTOR pathway. Two more necessary players now come in, the leucine zipper and the GTPase activating protein area, also called GAP. One way to think about the leucine zipper is as a zipper, hence the name. It unzips the DNA so its information, which are the genes, can be read, kind of like opening up a book. The GAP proteins are the keys to unlocking large membrane G proteins that unlock GTP, the energy source we were talking about before that is bound to Reb, the gasoline. So in the pathway we are looking at, the GAP protein's job is to assist in breaking down the energetically active RebGTP into RebGDP so that it is no longer able to activate the mTOR complex. Recent studies have shown that the most prominent GAP region regulating RebGTP in this pathway is located along the TSC2 protein of the TSC1 and 2 complex. The leucine zipper unzips the DNA and reads the information from the TSC1 and 2 genes, which will give directions as to how the GAP proteins should behave to regulate the available energy. However, if the TSC1 and 2 genes contain misinformation, then the GAP proteins won't be regulated as efficiently and will either produce too much or too little energy, causing dysregulation of the pathway the GAP proteins are transferring energy to. In this case, it's dysregulating how much gas flow is going to the mTOR engine.
These missed signalings can result in uncontrolled cell growth, hence the tumors seen in many TSC patients.
The impacts of TSC gene mutations go beyond dysregulation of cell growth. In humans, another major outcome that occurs is epilepsy, which is seen in 70 to 90% of patients with TSC. Epilepsy is a brain disorder that results in seizures, causing people to experience bizarre sensations, behaviors, and even unconsciousness. A major contributor to developing epilepsy is brain damage, though in this case, it's due to misinformation in the genetic code that regulates the brain's development. It can't be controlled very well with medications, thus resulting in negative impacts on the patient's quality of life. Another approach is surgical. A study done in Sweden in 2022 took a variety of TSC patients and had them undergo removal of the epileptogenic zone to reduce the negative impacts caused when someone has a seizure. Basically, they're cutting out the part of the brain that is linked to causing epileptic episodes. Patients that had the surgery were identified, and a 2-year follow-up was done to find information relating to seizure after effects. The follow-up showed a majority of TSC patients that underwent the seizure surgery were now seizure-free, meaning that tuberectomy is a possible successful treatment in epilepsy to improve patients' quality of life.
So, epilepsy isn't the only neurological impact of TSC. As mentioned before, TSC commonly results in tumor growth. Tumor formation also often occurs on the central nervous system, the circuit of the brain and spinal cord that codes for how we think, move, feel, and behave. This results in many TSC patients having been found to experience psychological and behavioral issues as a result. Similarly, mutations of the TSC1 and 2 genes cause misdevelopment of the structural arrangement of the cerebral cortex, which we talked about prior in that there was a noticeable increase in thickness of the cortex. This further leads to psychological disorders, often tied to TSC patients, such as ADHD, mood disorders, anxiety, OCD, and alcoholism.
As you can probably tell by now, the story of how our brain develops is an incredibly complex one. Here we have only explored three components of one cellular growth pathway, but there are many more pathways that regulate how much a cell grows, and countless components that are involved with each of those pathways. However, understanding which parts of our genetic code regulate our brain's development provides limitless potential for creating new therapies for people who have genetic mutations in these crucial regions. We've discussed how the TBC1D7 gene seems to be an important regulator of cell growth in some capacity, while the exact ways its protein functions are not yet known. The next steps for researchers studying TBC1D7 will likely involve figuring out whether TBC1D7 has its own gap domain that directly regulates the amount of gas sent to the engine of cell growth, or whether it just changes the functionality and accessibility of the main gap domain on the TSC2 protein.
So we hope after this episode you all have a better understanding of not only TSC, but also the different contributing cellular factors that lead to this disease. We covered a lot of things, from honing in on the TBC1D7 gene to possible insights into cancer development. We hope it all tied together for you, and thank you for listening.